Welcome to the Danny Carlson Podcast, the show where we talk about building online businesses that support your dream lifestyle, not just for maximum revenue, because oftentimes that comes at the expense of living your dream lifestyle. And in this episode, I'm going to talk about my experience of the past 4 years being an expat entrepreneur, living mostly in Bali, but I actually started that journey in the Philippines. And there are some big lessons learned about working remotely, building a business while living in a different country as many of your employees, and a lot of interesting things that came with that. So I'm going to talk about the top things that are going to help someone going along this journey themselves, whether you want to just spend a little bit of time in Asia or Colombia or something like that, just to travel and build a business from a different place, or if you're legitimately considering spending, you know, multiple years living in a different place. Or a lot of people love doing 6 months in Bali and then 6 months back home. That's what a lot of Canadians do, because in Canada, the winter is very cold and a lot of people will just prefer to go somewhere warm. And personally, I've been in Bali for about the past 3 years and I just prefer to be here most of the time. So it's all up to you. But let's get into the juicy stuff. The number one biggest lesson that I've learned in the past 4 years is that people is much more important than place and activities. And what I mean by that is, it's so, so important to surround yourself with a community of like-minded people, whoever that is that you want to become. So go back to when I traveled to the Philippines. That was the first place that I went when I left Canada. And I chose the Philippines, specifically Cebu City, because I had been there before and I had a really good time traveling there back when I was competing in longboard racing. So my previous trip there, I had met a bunch of really cool Filipino longboarders, and we had a great time just traveling around and doing free diving, scuba diving, longboarding, and it was just a really beautiful place, and that was great. But when I came back there in 2018, I had a lot of different goals. I was trying to grow my business. I was really into mindset and health and just really trying to push myself and become a legitimate business owner, right? And so it was very different than the previous time that I was there. And my old friends that I met that previous time, they were completely different than the person that I wanted to become. They really loved to travel a lot and they just wanted to work as little as possible so that they had enough money to go spend more time longboarding and surfing and these kind of things. And that's great. But when I was back there in 2018 with my new goals of being a business owner and a successful entrepreneur, I felt really disconnected. And I didn't really have an easy time finding other people who were on the same path. In Cebu City, there are those people. There are a decent amount of expats there, but a very small expat community who's focused on growing online businesses. So after 4 months living in Cebu City, I really felt super lonely. My longboarding friends were really cool, but they didn't really fulfill that community need that I had. And I also didn't have any acro yoga people around. At that time, I was doing tons of acro yoga. That was my favorite thing to do. And there was a very, very small amount of people that did that there. So I got on the internet and I looked for where in the world can I go that has a really good combination of those two things. I need to surround myself with other entrepreneurs who want to work remotely and are really pushing themselves. And I also need a good acro yoga community. And it just so happened that Bali had both of those things and it wasn't too far away from the Philippines. So just based on that, I booked a ticket, I think a week out from that date that I just found out about Bali. I had never really looked into Bali before that, but I figured, what do I have to lose? Let's go try it out. And I mean, I haven't really left Bali to live since. I've been here for 3 years and I've only left for small trips to go to business conferences and things in other countries. But really, Bali has that thing that is always going to keep me coming back here. It has those communities of people to surround myself with. And it also has a lot of fun activities to do and everything like that. But I learned through living in Cebu City that that is not enough to sustain a happy lifestyle. Just doing fun things all the time without that connection to a community that you actually feel a part of and peers that you can relate with, it just wasn't enough. So that was the biggest realization living in Bali. And another thing that I didn't really realize until I had been living in Bali for probably at least a year is how much environment really affects the people that we become. So when I was living in downtown Vancouver, you're always surrounded by money in different ways. So there's lots of people driving around Mercedes-Benz. their Ferraris, and people are just generally flashing their money a little bit more than they are in places like Bali and Cebu. And as much as I didn't really care about that kind of stuff, I definitely got wrapped up in that energy, so to speak. You always see people around like wearing really expensive jackets and nice things. And the more that I was around those kind of things, the more I really felt the need to fit in with those kind of things. So an example, I bought this rain jacket that was ridiculously expensive for a rain jacket. It was $800 rain jacket by Arc'teryx, and it was like super high quality and made for mountain climbers who have to fit a helmet underneath there, and it was going to be bulletproof in these crazy mountainous conditions. But I was just wearing this thing to walk from my apartment to the office across the street. And if I'm being honest with myself, I bought that jacket so that I could look the part. I didn't need an $800 rain jacket. I just wanted to look like someone who fit in this kind of this place where people really cared about that. And that I wasn't always like that. I was only more conscious of that when I was living in downtown Vancouver, even in different areas of the city when I lived in East Vancouver, where people don't really dress like that. It's more of like a hipster area where people are, they're not dressing in expensive clothes. They just have a certain style to them. I did not care about having an $800 rain jacket when I lived in East Vancouver, but I did when I lived in downtown Vancouver. And once I moved to Bali, it was the opposite. I was surrounded by a lot more people who were doing interesting things with their lives, who were starting new businesses, who had grown successful businesses, who were doing amazing things with their fitness and their health and everything like that. And I started to be a lot more conscious of those things myself. And my own personal values changed. I really didn't care as much about, you know, looking successful to other people. And I started to care a lot more about similar things to as the people I was surrounding myself with. And I'm someone who really believes that everybody is in control of their own lives. But one kind of surprising insight to me is that there's a lot of our behavior that can be attributed just to our environment. Whether we're aware of it or not, we are going to act differently. We're going to focus on different things depending on what we're actually surrounded by, the people we're surrounded by, and just the culture we're surrounded by on a daily basis. It does affect us. So that has been easily the biggest benefit of living in Bali for me, is just being consistently surrounded with the type of people that are similar to the person that I want to become. That just became a lot easier coming to Bali. And one thing that I didn't understand until I came here is that being a digital nomad can be really lonely. And what I mean by that, a digital nomad is typically a person who is constantly traveling, maybe every few months or even once every 6 months. They'll just pick up their bags and go travel to a new country, live there for a few months to a year or whatever, and then repeat and go to a different place. And I did a bit of that, and I quickly realized that I was too lonely. The depth of the relationships was very surface level. And anyone who has traveled for an extensive period of time will realize this. Like, it's very exciting because you're constantly meeting new people and everything like that. But after a certain period of time, for me, it's about a month and a half or 2 months, it just becomes a little bit exhausting. You're just meeting a lot of people, which is cool, but they're very surface level relationships. You might go really deep, really fast with someone and kind of understand things, but you don't really know them on a deep level, right? And it is pretty exhausting just constantly having to make new friends instead of having a really solid friend group that you really know each other on a deep level. And the same goes for romantic relationships. It's really difficult to have an actual deep romantic relationship if you're constantly traveling around all over the place, right? And maybe you don't need that in your life right now, but certainly that was something that I struggled with. When I was living in the Philippines, I'm just constantly meeting new people. And my girlfriend, when I was in the Philippines, she was great and everything like that. But when I knew that I was going to just leave and go to a different place, it just kind of gets rid of that possibility of creating a long-term relationship and just really going deep. So the antidote to the loneliness of being a digital nomad, I think, is to just change the terminology a little bit to expat. I consider myself less of a digital nomad and more of an expat because I've been pretty much exclusively in Bali for the past 3 years. I've gone on very short trips to other countries, but I've pretty much stuck here. And because of that, I've been able to build a lot of really great friendships. A lot of people that are my friends here, I've known for 3 years or 2 years or longer. And so it feels more like home to me. I know a lot of good places to go to do things. I know a lot of people in different communities to do fun hobbies and everything like that. And sure, it's not as exciting as constantly going to a new place and everything, but for me, the depth of relationships, I think, is a lot more important. So being an expat and basing myself in a place for a longer period of time works out a lot better for me for my lifestyle. And one thing to keep in mind for people who are thinking about traveling to another country to go live and work or build your business is that the act of actually leaving to go to another country is an act of commitment. So I'm sure a lot of you have heard the common wisdom out there, you burn all your boats, you're much more likely to make it happen, or something along those lines, right? When the Vikings went and conquered another land, they would famously land at the foreign land. The captains would burn their boats so that everybody knew that their only option was to conquer this land because there was no escaping. They were 100% committed. While this is not completely the case, you can always get a plane ticket back home, there is a level of commitment when you actually go fly to a different country, right? You're not just going to give up at your first obstacle or your first fear of something happening because it's a pain in the butt to go fly back home. And you've gone through that level of commitment to get there. There is a certain motivation to push through that comes with that. So if you're scared of doing it, I would challenge you to actually book a ticket and actually get yourself to that country. And I bet you'll find that you'll have an extra little kick of motivation to push through whatever you need to push through, whether it's challenges with your business or something like that. Now, that being said, of course, there are things that you need to set up in a correct way so that you can do that. So what I recommend is setting up a minimum viable test, right? You do need to plan for some contingencies, but it's very often not as bad as you think it is. So if you actually think through the thought experiment, think through, okay, so what is the worst case scenario that would happen? I'm going to fly over there and then my business is just going to have all these huge problems. This problem's going to come up. This problem's going to come up. I'm going to run out of money, right? Think about what you would do in that situation. Let's take, I'm going to run out of money situation. My business just completely goes down the toilet and I'm going to run out of money and I don't have any backup options. I can't go move back into my parents' house because I'm in a different country. I don't have any social security because I'm a foreigner in this country. So what am I going to do? And in most of these situations, if you actually think it through, it's really simple. You buy a plane ticket home. As long as you have enough money for a plane ticket home, or even in a worst case scenario, you have enough credit on your credit card to pay for a ticket home, and you go and you can get yourself a job within a week or two of landing home, you're good, right? You're going to be safe. And maybe you go back with your tail between your legs, but at least you got out there and you tried. And that's just a worst case scenario, right? If you're thinking about it, and we have this fear, we're usually expecting something much worse than that based on our fear. But if you actually think it through, it's not that bad, right? It wouldn't be the end of the world to buy a plane ticket home before you plan to actually come home and just get yourself a job. That's just one example, right? But that applies to so many other things. A common reason I see people not want to do it is because they have kids or a family, right? It's like, well, I would come live in Bali or I would go move to Mexico, but I have my kids. There are tons of people with young families here in Bali, like lots. Bali is a great place to have kids. And I've been thinking about this a lot because I plan on having kids at some point in the near future. I'm pretty sure that we're going to raise our kids here in Bali instead of in Canada. And Canada has a lot of benefits for kids, right? It has, free healthcare and all these kind of things. But Bali has even more benefits. There are great communities of like-minded parents who don't want their kids to grow up in a traditional school environment and have made alternative school environments for the kids. Like Bali Green School is a great example of that. The kids get to do all sorts of awesome outdoor activities and also get a good education without a lot of the fluff that's in the regular education. Because let's be honest, the regular school system has a lot of stuff that's not really useful for life, right? It's just forcing someone to prove that they can memorize information on stuff that's not useful. So Bali has a lot of great things for young families. And the amount of activities that someone can do in a place like Bali as a kid is amazing. And I've seen a lot of people grow up in cities and they just don't have access to a lot of really cool things. So what do they do? They party, right? That was my experience growing up in the small town of Kelowna, is there was a lot of kids just getting into drugs and alcohol at a very young age, 14, 15, 16. And you got to wonder if all of these kids had access to a lot of really cool, awesome things to do, and they went to a school that brought them out into the wilderness and then showed them how to do all these fun things with their spare time, would they be doing drugs, or would they be going off and looking for awesome adventures and going surfing and just enjoying life? And then some other obstacles. So people sometimes say, oh, well, the time zones wouldn't work for me. And that might be true for some jobs, but I would challenge that and say that you can completely get around that. So living in Bali, it is the opposite time zone as New York City. So it's exactly 12 hours different from New York time. And I have sales calls with people in New York all the time. For me, it starts at 6 a.m. I'll start taking my early calls, and that's 6 p.m. for them. And that has worked out completely fine for more than 4 years. And for the longest time, our main sales rep was also here with me in Bali. It was a British guy living here in Bali, and that wasn't a problem for him. He was a great sales rep. We did eventually get sales reps inside of Canada and the United States, and I was expecting a bigger benefit to that, but there was really not much of a noticeable benefit to having them in the same time zone as long as you're using your time effectively. You just have to structure things in a little bit different of a way. Either put all of your calls first thing in the morning or late in the evening, and then do the other sales work at different times of day. So completely overcomable. And the other really common thing that people will say is just really basic things like, oh, my banking or my mailing address. Those are all really easy to overcome. You can use services like Wise, where you can make international transfers to so many different currencies just from your computer. Really, really easy. Almost all banks will have some way that you can do the banking and make digital signatures overseas. And then a mailing address is simple. In any Canadian or American city, there's going to be co-working spaces. And a lot of these co-working spaces will have something called a virtual address. You can pay, usually it's about $20 a month or $30 a month. And you're basically borrowing their physical address, and they'll receive all of your mail for you. And then they can scan it and then send you an email version of that. So it's all totally overcomable. And then you still have a local address in your home country, and you can still access all of that mail. And the last thing that I hear from people, I do occasionally hear people concerned with the geo arbitrage. So geo arbitrage is just you make a higher income from a different country and then you go live in a different country. So your expenses are lower in this different country. And there's a lot of countries you can do this. Bali is definitely one of them. Medellin, Colombia is another common place. Mexico is really common for Americans and Canadians. And a lot of people seem to have a problem with this. They, in their head, it's damaging the local economies, and it's driving the cost of living up for the locals, and it's just a generally bad thing. And the first thing I'll say about that is that this is not something unique to digital nomad hotspots. It's happening all over every big American city as well, especially Vancouver, where I came from. There's a huge amount of Chinese investors coming and buying homes, and it's driven the price of the homes way, way up. And same in San Francisco and so many of the other big cities in the United States. So this is not a unique problem to them. But you have to remember the flip side too, is that a lot of people benefit from that. So in the Vancouver scenario, there's a lot of people who have made their living off of the real estate market in Vancouver. And a lot of Canadians have become very wealthy through that money coming in externally from those Chinese investors. And Bali has certainly seen the same benefit. Something like 70% of Bali's economy is tourism. And during the COVID-19 pandemic, it really hurt when 70% of the economy went away. And I saw the effects of that, right? There was a lot of businesses that had to shut down and families that suddenly had no income for almost 2 years, right? So, you know, were those families happy that all of these foreigners went away who are driving up the housing prices and all these kind of things? Of course they weren't. You could make a very good argument that their lives are much better off having a very big tourism and expat community here to provide people with a good income. And it doesn't affect things as much as most people would imagine for their living expenses. So in Bali, there is a massive, massive difference between the cost of what a typical local is going to spend for their cost of living and a typical expat here. A typical expat here, their cost of living is going to be somewhere in the order of 5 to 10 times what a local can live for. as long as a local does not live within the hot tourism areas, so they don't live within in Bali, that would be like Canggu and Uluwatu and maybe the center of Ubud, they don't even have to go that far outside of those areas before the pricing for the housing goes way, way down, the cost of the land and everything like that. And then just eating at the local restaurants, the pricing is usually 10% or less of what it's going to cost at one of these fancy expat-focused or tourism-focused restaurants. So yes, it does drive up the prices of the real estate and everything like that, but you got to remember there is so much benefit as well that comes for the locals having all of this external money come in. So I would challenge anyone who thinks that is a bad thing to do this geo-arbitrage. And there's a lot of people that are locals here in Bali that see it as a very good thing. But that's pretty much all I have to say on that, guys. Hopefully you enjoyed this. And I would just say to anyone who is really been wanting to go trying living in a different country and just seeing how they like it, I would just say, if you think that you would like it, you got to at least try it, because it really sucks to have this dream, this vision in your head and just wonders like, oh, that would be so cool, but I'm not going to do it because of this. And, you know, it never worked for me because of this. It's never been easier to do this stuff, guys. Like, think about 15 years ago or more when Tim Ferriss, the 4-Hour Workweek came out. He was doing this stuff back then, and there was no Zoom. There was no, you know, all of this crazy technology that makes is so much easier. The internet speeds are much worse. It has never been easier to go live in whatever country you want to live and continue to build your business. So just try it out, guys. I think you'll find that most of the reasons that you didn't want to do it are not really strong enough reasons. So give it a shot. Worst case scenario, you're going to buy a ticket back with your tail between your legs, and you're just going to go back to business as normal. So go out there and live those dreams, guys.